Happy New Year. Is it too early? You're supposed to be able to say that on New Year's Eve, right? Happy New Year. Can you say that? I'm saying it. I don't care. Happy New Year. I'm Cy Kelly, your host. Welcome to the end of the year 2020. You made it. You're one of the remnant who made it to the end of the year 2020. We conclude the year this year as we did last year and as we are making a tradition of concluding each year with a year in review here at Catholic Answers. And here to help us do that, two of the leaders here at Catholic Answers. I think I introduced Todd first most of the year, so I'm going to go with you first. Chris Check, president of Catholic Answers. Welcome.
Thank you, Cy, and thank you for calling me a leader.
Yes. Well, I saw the org chart. I know you. And then the head of publishing here at Catholic Answers, Todd Agliolaro. Hi, Todd.
Hey, Cy. How you doing? It's right and just that I should go second, so I'm happy to see you do that.
Okay, good. Good.
Good liturgical.
Thank you. I should have said meat and just. That's a really one.
Well, yeah.
Dignum et justum est.
We've become a bit of a team, the three of us, this year. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but we've done some crisis shows. We started, I think it was June, we did the first one, and this is not exactly a year, a church in crisis or a year in crisis or a world in crisis show. Because
where have you been?
No, I mean, there's just some positive things in today's
sure there
program.
Are. There are many.
First of all, thank you for doing those with us this year. I do think that they were widely appreciated. I think your sharing your wise perspectives was greatly appreciated. It was just a terrible year other than that. So thanks for giving us a high
one
point.
Shining spot.
One of the things we do, if I could just explain to the listener, in this end of year program that we do, is we do a poll. We poll our radio club and ask them a whole bunch of questions about the year so that we can draw on that material for this program. And so our radio, you can join Radio Club. You just go to CatholicAnswersLive.com and you scroll down to the bottom and you put in your email address and then you're a member of Radio Club. We try not to ask you for anything as a member of Radio Club. We just give out a bunch of stuff. I probably shouldn't say that in front of Chris Check, president of Catholic Answers.
I love giving stuff away.
Okay, good.
I love to give stuff away. And by the way, this is an opportunity for me to ask for money, because if you send money to Catholic Answers, we can give stuff away.
Thank you for turning that into something positive.
This is a true and good, and this is a meet and just way to evangelize.
Yeah.
Send Catholic Answers a check, and we will give stuff away.
And we do each week. You get the Radio Club newsletter. We also give away talks and interviews and various things that we're able to record throughout the year just to give to Radio Club. But then we ask you to give back by taking part in the poll, and a whole bunch of people took part in the poll. We asked them, who's the Catholic person of 2020? What's the Catholic story of 2020, the news story? Who's the pro-life person of 2020? Those will all come near the end because those are the big ones. Those are like best actor and best actress and best motion picture. We asked them who the Catholic media organization of the year is. We love to ask people who have gone out of their way to get on our mailing list, hey, who's the Catholic media organization of the year?
I love it.
Guess who they picked?
Word on Fire.
They did not. They were kind enough to pick us. But man, do people love EWTN too, though. There are lots of EWTN.
God bless EWTN, the legacy of Mother Angelica.
Right. And also, I think a lot of people think we are EWTN. They think we're the same thing.
We are not. We have a close friendship with them.
We did Catholic Word or Phrase of the Year, Most Inspiring News Story, Most Depressing News Story. Basically, those two came out to be the same thing, actually. Negative Trend and Positive Trend of the Year. And then we asked some questions that were specific to this year about specifically about the COVID, actually. So we're going to get into all
What's
of that.
What's that?
Hopefully a distant memory soon. Mm. I hope that in the coming months, it will be a distant memory. So let me ask you this, if I may, because we did all these crisis shows throughout the year. So as we prepare to go through the poll and as we reflect on the year 2020, does it feel like as much of a crisis, like does it feel like the crisis has peaked at some point, or do you feel like we've come through the main crises of the year, either one of you or both of you?
Well, you're nodding, Chris, like you got something lined up.
Oh, I do have an answer to this question. For me, it's well behind me, but this is my own life. when the matter came to a head in the spring, Catholic Answers reacted beautifully to it. We, with the exception of this program, largely closed down the office. Everyone was working from home. Our productivity remained quite high. In fact, I think there was a lot of adrenaline. And other people have told a similar story about their organizations. And so I couldn't have been more pleased with how the apostolate operated. But within a month or two at the most, I sent word to the staff that we needed to be in one another's company and that we were reopening the building, taking what measures we could not to infect one another. And I've been living my life as president of Catholic Answers in the main, insofar as possible, as in as ordinary a way as I can. And thanks be to God, you know, we have a chapel and a chaplain here, so yeah. Our sacramental life proceeds. So for me, you know, it's behind me. And also, it's behind me in large part, Cy, because I've shut off the news.
I that's funny. I've done the same thing since the election. I wasn't able to do it before the election. So your reputation for ordinariness then is intact.
Amen.
Is that?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, yes. Chris.
Well, I follow the rules.
Yeah.
That's what ordinary means, right?
Yes. Well, it also means the bishop of a local place.
Right.
What do you think about the crises of this year, Todd?
Well, if I recall, when we discussed the crises, we didn't focus exclusively on the COVID. It sounds like I'm a grandfather already. We're talking about the COVID, but rather kind of the long, slow, simmering crises of our culture, right? So
yeah, that's right.
I don't know that we've resolved any of those, and perhaps because we're dealing with so many others, you get a kind of crisis fatigue, and you either kind of check out, which is nice, or you kind of bunker down a little bit, and you feel like, well, everything's just kind of gripping us from all sides. Yeah. Let's return to kind of fundamentals. Let's the family, prayer, and the things that we can take as bedrocks during them.
I think this will be a theme for me through the next 2 hours here, Cy, and that is turning our attention to the things that we can, in fact, manage.
Yeah.
And that has been actually one of the great gifts of this crisis, if that's the word. There's so much of it that is outside of our control, certainly outside of mine. Within the church and without.
Yeah,
but there are many things that are within our control, and those are the things that I choose to concentrate on.
It's interesting your use of the word and pointing to there is a lack of resolution. It doesn't feel to me as 2020 comes to an end that these things like the Black Lives Matter and on all the stuff that followed on the death of George Floyd has had any kind of resolution. It doesn't feel like the various crises in the church. It doesn't feel like this was a year of resolving things. And even the election, though it settled some basic things like how many Democrats and Republicans will be in the Congress, it doesn't feel like anything was resolved. It feels like we survived the year rather than resolve. But however, with the COVID thing, it does seem possible that we are now. I know that there are many, many different opinions on this, but it does seem possible we are coming near to a resolution with vaccines that will possibly, make it not the pressing issue that it was. What will become of it, I don't know. So I don't know. What do you? I don't feel much resolution to anything.
Not even the election was that, and we were all hoping it would be a kind of catharsis. But
it wasn't.
Control of Senate still isn't. The control of Congress and the Senate still isn't decided yet.
Right.
We've got a couple more weeks to bite our nails over that one.
Yeah.
And then even when that's over, it's almost like there's a new wave that's about new set of waves that's about to start crashing down on the shore.
Right.
So, Cy, it's not intended by the people who create revolution for there to be resolution.
Oh, that's a very good point.
They don't want that. So all the George Floyd and the Black Lives Matter, et cetera, these are the tearing down of the statues of Columbus or Junipero Serra or the Blessed Virgin Mary. These things are just the ongoing revolution. It's the ongoing iconoclasm. However you want to describe it. And yeah, it's not meant to be resolved.
They may promise resolution.
Of course.
And they promise that this one more thing.
Defund the police and crime will go away.
Yeah, right. That's true. That is, we live with these kind of promises of just do this one next thing. You know, if you just don't have a, I can't remember even years ago what that pipeline was between Canada, but there was this idea, it was almost pushed like global warming, just no pipeline, and then we've settled. There's always like some, you know, it's a, but even a conservative, I mean, I don't want to just put it on the liberal side. I mean, there's also that attitude about a wall between Mexico and the U.S. If you just get the wall and it'll be done. There's both.
They take on a totemic quality.
Yeah, that's a good word.
It's more of an optics thing than a real matter of policy. It's about generating support, and money drives a lot of it too, I would imagine, not to be too cynical.
I was at an event many, many years ago. I've never forgotten this example. It was some kind of a banquet or something. It was before I worked for Catholic Answers and when I was at the Rockford Institute, and I was sitting next to a fellow who, I kid you not, said, if we could just get everybody to fly an American flag, we would solve the drug problem. That was it. But I mean, this
it would be great if everyone would fly American flag.
Yeah, I guess.
That's just not true.
No, right? Not at all. But he was quite serious. I mean, he was writing checks to make this happen. But this rhetoric is very much in force right now. I'm getting Christmas cards from people saying, you know, goodbye 2020. It's all, you know, as if on tomorrow. These things, which are still going to be very much with us, are not going to be.
Well, let's not deprive people of that comforting illusion that we indulge in every single December.
I deprive you right now, listeners.
I officially deprive you. Oh, and he's the president, too. He's got the power to deprive you.
There's something human and charming about the idea that we start fresh in January.
Well, I'll tell you, if it means making resolutions and understanding what you can and can't manage, then, yeah, I think there's a lot of good to be gained from this. But if you are under we're going to have a reset. I know that word means a lot of things now.
I know.
Please. Come on, folks.
Well, let's talk when we come back, then let's talk about that, because part of what happened in 2020, one would hope, is the shattering of an illusion of modern invulnerability to nature and reality. But I don't think it did. I just don't think that you would think that the illusion would be punctured, but it just seems resilient and unpunctured. We'll start with that when we come back.
Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Cy Kellett. Don't forget to check out the latest episode of our podcast, Catholic Answers Focus. You can listen each week to the world's premier podcast on Catholic apologetics at CatholicAnswersFocus.com or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Catholic Answers Focus, now available at CatholicAnswersFocus.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
I just want to share that 5 years ago, my lovely warrior princess and saint of a wife and I decided to adopt a little girl through foster care. She is the perfect roundout of our family of three boys and her. Yes, there are challenges. Very grateful today for all the blessings that he has shown our family.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We're reviewing the year 2020 with President of Catholic Answers, Chris Check, and with the Director of Publishing here at Catholic Answers, Todd Egliolaro, and myself, Cy Kellett, the host of this program. Part of how we will review the year is we're going to reveal the results of our poll on who the Catholic person of the year is, what the Catholic story of the year is. We should have done one of our poll questions should have been, how reliable are polls? Because I think the polls took a hit this year as well. But kind of what I was getting at in our illusions not being punctured is that there is a kind of, I don't know any other way to say it, arrogance of the modern mind that says, we can control everything. And even down to, and I'm going to borrow this from you, a comment you made at the break, Todd, controlling our gender, you know, that we're in charge of this. And then nature comes along and gives you, well, possibly, some people say, well, nature didn't come along. It was the Chinese military. I don't know. I'm not a virus expert, but it would appear that nature flings this virus up. We lost a lot as a consequence of this virus. We did not show great a great ability to control even ourselves or our ability to treat one another with respect. I mean, I don't see any humility coming from this. I think we're just continuing on the arrogant path of the modern mind.
These things at bottom, Sai, are denials of original sin and its effects. And the way we can control that, insofar as we can, is with God's grace. And that is not at all part of the conversation.
That's a very good point. Well,
I wonder if it's encouraging, maybe in a small way, to reflect on how this is a cyclical thing, at least in modern times. The scientism of the early 20th century. I mean, our belief in sciences and mankind's learning's ability to fix everything and create a utopia probably pales in comparison to what it was before the First World War.
Yeah, right.
Even between the wars, and we've been humbled by war. We've been humbled by other pandemics that were just as deadly, and as a percentage of total population, deadlier than the one we're dealing with now. We've been humbled by political scandal and all kinds of things, environmental degradation. So, have we come out the other side, completely chastened? No, of course not. But it may be comforting in some small way to recognize that this is not a novel thing.
Yeah, right. It does seem, as you were speaking, I was thinking about on 9/11 2001, there was something humbling in that something that looked so permanent just disappeared from the map, and that the war in Iraq was, I think, humbling for our sense of invulnerability. And now this, and there are other, in 2008, the collapse of the collapse of the economy, basically. But it does seem like we're getting a lot of humbling things happening. I don't know, when are we going to be humble?
I think Todd's observation is important if people know something of history. But the difficulty is that we live in the moment and not in a good way. And so the pandemics to which he refers, or the enthusiasm for science in the early part of the 20th century, or even more recent things that you refer to, Sai, economic collapse or downturn in the 08 and 09, these things are distant memories to so many people. In fact, I don't even think they think about them at all. Because of the way technological communication runs, and the way it's constantly presenting novelty, we're not likely to be humbled or take the lessons of collective wisdom.
I think an example of that too. I think you're absolutely right, and I think it's important. And many have made this distinction, and I won't take it too far, but a distinction between the effects of the pandemic, properly speaking, those who are made ill and killed by this virus, and the effects of our attempts to mitigate the effects of the pandemic, and how much more economic damage have we done. And economic is more than just, Scrooge McDuck with his bags of money. Economic means people's lives. It means their jobs. It means their health.
And their mental health, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how much harm have we done in a hubristic belief that technocratically we can organize our response to this natural phenomenon in such a way that we skip right past it, or we minimize its damage. And in fact, we may have done more.
Is no question that we have done more. The answer is a ton of damage, a big ton.
Explain that a little bit more for me. So that we've done damage.
The reaction to the virus, the attempt to mitigate. And by the way,
oh, I see. Okay, I'm with
you. I would say the general cultural understanding is one of mitigation, because mitigation means, okay, we do what we can, and then we live. Yes, yeah. and we live. Like, avoiding death is not living, right? So, but it's just like we're trying to eliminate this or live without its effects. That is impossible. And in the offing, in the attempt to do that, as Todd observed, economy is not simply the bottom line or the quarterly report of a multinational publicly traded company. It's the small businesses and the livelihoods that have been destroyed, absolutely destroyed, by an overreaction.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I see that. Yeah. In some ways, just will continue to resonate out and out and out because we're in two camps, really, as a society. And this, I'm not inventing this. Everybody knows it. We're in these camps in which you have to be, in some ways, resistant to the critique of your side because you're in a war of a kind of an information war. And so we naturally are very, very defensive about our side in that. So it doesn't seem to me that Twitter is suddenly going to realize, we did a bad job in all that censoring that we did, that we should treat adults like adults, or that Facebook is going to wake up, or NBC News is going to. They're not. They're going to harden in their bunkers of their view of the world, their worldview.
Or the millions and millions of people who use these platforms. I think your point, Cy, about two sides here is an extremely important one, because especially because it affects or infects conversation within the church. And we see this, for example, at Catholic Answers, where people will say, well, you guys are trying to navigate the middle of the road. You'll publish a book by this person, and then you'll publish a book by this person. Which side are you on? Well, both actually have, like the old 60s song there, right? Yeah, which side? But both people have some valuable things to say. And the church is in this way kind of a fraternity of conversation, and they're valuable ideas to be exchanged. And it's not a question about navigating the middle or anything like that, but rather embracing the fullness of the conversation. Todd runs into this, of course, more directly than you do on the radio, in the press, and on the radio, but I find it extraordinary. And look, I call myself a trad. I like the old mass, but trads especially, the doubling down on either you're with Vigano or you're not, for example,
exactly.
So unedifying.
We have our totems within the church as well. Where which flag are you flying? Yeah. Well, I don't want to fly a flag. I just want to be a Christian with you.
Exactly. Sorry.
Go ahead, Todd.
I didn't have much to contribute there. This is a phenomenon we've been observing in politics and in the church and in other venues for a long time, and we can identify some of the contributors to that, social media probably being high up on the list, that allows us to, and really the expansion of media generally, everything from cable TV to Twitter, allowing us the ability to sequester ourselves in ideological bubbles, hearing what we want to hear, associating only with those who are like-minded, and the creation of echo chambers. I'm hardly the first to observe this,
right?
But it's a self-perpetuating thing.
Yeah. I guess it has something to do with turning off the news entirely since the election. Like every now and then, my wife will tell me something, and I'll say, I didn't even know that was happening, because I've really, since the election, zoned out. But a part of it is this siloing kind of has the effect of, well, who am I? I mean, whose triumphalism do I want to listen to today? I mean, I would like the news, but
that's a good word, and it takes on the character of religious fervor, of course, in Catholic conversations, but also in political ones. And I've got friends whom I respect greatly and contributors to Catholic Answers who believe with a great deal of zeal that we're approaching a kind of singularity of a great moment of you're with us or you're against us, and everything is kind of clarifying into that. And if you don't see it, then you're against us. And there's a kind of purity test now that we're facing more and more.
Well, the tests are a terrible idea. Although, I mean, I am a person who in print has advocated for purification by clarity. That I think that bishops need to teach clearly. Mm. Uh, the, and But that's a different thing.
Have you suggested this to them, Cy? Have you proposed that?
I did. Write
them a letter.
Okay, yeah,
good. Yeah, I'll write a strongly worded letter.
This is a great idea.
Yeah, just teach the faith, and that will purify the church because people will choose, do I want to be part of that or not?
Amen.
But I don't want to present it as a test to anybody. Like, you can't come or you're not part of this if you – no, that's terrible. That's a horrible idea. But I do think – clarity is a cleanser of its own, in that eventually people say, well, is that if that's really what you're about in regard to abortion, I'm not part of that. Or if that's really what you're about in regard to marriage, I'm not part of that. And then the other person who goes, hey, I think I am part of that. Things get straight. All right, we'll take a quick break and I'll become more articulate right after that.
Cy, you want to roll?
Hello, this is Archbishop Alexander Sample of the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. Keep that dial right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Aren't faith and reason two separate and distinct kinds of truth? Why do Christians believe in the biblical creation story when science has disproved it? How can the modern world take religion seriously when they oppose scientific advancements like birth control and stem cell research? In 20 Answers, Faith and Science, you'll find smart, solid answers to these questions and many more, clearing away misconceptions and helping you to understand and explain to your friends and family the complex but ultimately harmonious relationship between religious and scientific truth. 20 Answers, Faith and Science is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
If you spend any time on Twitter, Facebook, or mainstream media, you're probably familiar with the litany of slogans that skeptics employ to rescue you from the foolish belief that God exists. The constant onslaught seems to leave people with the idea that they have no alternative but to embrace atheism. How can a Christian respond? In One Less God Than You, John DeRosa breaks down 20 of the most common atheist challenges and shows you how to craft effective answers. Atheism is more aggressive and widespread than ever. Read One Less God Than You and prepare yourself to respond with the joyful truth that God is real. To get your copy of One Less God Than You, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you. All right, it's about time to get into some poll questions as we review the year 2020. The members of the Catholic Answers Radio Club, of which I was told yesterday there are 14,000. I'm very proud of that, 14,000. You can be a member of Radio Club. You just go to CatholicAnswersLive.com, scroll down to the part where you put your email address in, and we will send black helicopters to your house. No, that's not true, but we'll send all kinds of good stuff.
I was just thinking, for their 14,000 members, if each one would send in a check.
Oh my goodness. Well, he's going to do fundraising right up to the end of the year.
We could do that studio redesign that you want to do, Cy. Put that wet bar in.
Right. We could get a helicopter maybe. Yeah. If it's successful.
Oh, Catholic Answers helicopter. That would be, we could speed to the scene of the crime whenever something happened. There's been a liturgical abuse. Catholic get in the answers. Helicopter.
Right.
Eye in the sky. Yeah. Cy in the sky. Oh my
God. This is getting good. All right. So do you guys happen to remember last year, among the things that we'll get to later, is the Catholic story of the year and the Catholic person of the year?
I forget both of them.
Do you have any recollection of what they were last year?
Yes, I remember. I remember the Catholic story of the year.
What?
This is what people voted was the Catholic story of the year.
Right.
It was not actually the Catholic story of the year.
No, this is what the people voted for.
Yes, it was the fertility statue.
It was Pachamama.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, the timing of when the poll went out and when the Pachamama happened meant that virtually every category last year was overwhelmed with Pachamama.
Right.
So,
but we do know that whole thing was orchestrated.
What was orchestrated?
The whole flinging of the thing into the Tiber River and going to get it. It was all funded and orchestrated. Right.
I didn't know that. I don't know the behind the scenes stuff. By who? By the Pope or by the Jesuits?
No, not by the Pope.
Oh, okay. Well, are you going to tell me, or do we have to wait till off the
well,
air?
It was a Catholic personality who
paid
set up
for the, and set up the stunt.
Yeah. Oh, I see. I'm so out of the loop. I think I had heard a rumor to that regard, but I didn't follow.
He's
up
talking
on
about
it.
The river thing. You're talking about the Vatican Gardens thing. I think
the guy. Yeah, well, wait a minute. Well, the guy who was Catholic Person of the Year was the kid who threw it in, right?
Yeah, I was going to tell you, Alexander Schugel.
Yeah, right.
Alexander Schugel.
How's his speaking career going right now? Is he on the circuit?
No one's on the circuit. Everyone's speaking career went in the trash this year.
Is he doing webinars? Is he?
No, yeah. You can't make a living doing webinars.
We haven't heard. Yeah. We've not heard from him lately.
Well, that was last year. So let me get this from you before I start going through the poll. And then we'll work up to the grand finale moment when we reveal this year's Catholic Person of the Year. And it was actually very close this year, unlike last year, where people didn't even know his name. Many people just wrote in. The guy who threw the Pachamama, the guy who drowned Pachamama, all that.
The guy who was paid to throw the Pachamama.
Paid or not. It's okay to be paid for your work.
That's right.
There's nothing wrong with being paid for your
work. He turned money into good work, just like we do.
What's wrong?
Well, no, I mean, but Antifa brings in paid agitators, too.
There's a certain way of conceiving of the world in which we are paid agitators. That's what we do here on the radio.
We're evangelizers.
It's a fine line. The fine line.
Oh my goodness.
One man's agitator. All right. So let me get this from you. This I don't know if I prepared you for this. So maybe this is completely going to shock you. But I would kind of like to know what your thoughts are on Person of the Year and Catholic Story of the Year. But the thing is, you can either guess at what the crowd picked, or you can tell me this is who I would have picked if I was.
I've got two.
Oh, you do? Okay, good. So what are we doing? Person of the year or story of the year?
Person first, right?
Person of the year. Go ahead. Yeah.
So for person, I think there's two. So there's the easy pick, mm-hmm. and then there's kind of the dark side pick. So easy pick, I think, is Amy Comey Barrett, who has given us a witness to authentic Catholic womanhood, faithful, joyful. Here's a woman who did not eschew motherhood and childbearing and being a faithful wife, and also became a legal scholar of the First Order, and has taken her convictions now to the highest court.
Yeah.
The less obvious pick, and maybe it's not less obvious because Hitler was Man of the Year once for Time magazine, but the less obvious pick has to be Joe Biden.
As Catholic person of the year. I see what you're saying. Yeah,
not saying that he's comparable to Hitler.
No, but it doesn't.
Only to say it doesn't have to be our hero of the year.
Oh, there you go.
This is really momentous. For the first time since the council, for the first time in God, how long was it now? Almost 60 years. We have a Catholic president that the bishops have to deal with. That the church in America has to. Bounce off of and manage, and a Catholic president in particular who is a dissenter on many, many important social issues. We know the big ones with regard to human life and marriage, certainly, but even now as he chooses his cabinet, it seems that he is returning to militant interventionist ideologues after a period of 4 years of relative peace and separatism from foreign war. So the church now and not just the leadership, but all of us have to reckon with that.
Yeah. I appreciate your mentioning Joe Biden because as you said, he's the second identified Catholic president of the United States. He's going to be among the most important people in the world for the next however long. I mean, he's 78 years old. I want to say 4 years, but I don't want to tempt fate either. But for however long we have him, and he is a Catholic.
He's not just a Catholic, and he professes, and that's the way Archbishop Gomez put it, which is very tactful.
I thought so too.
But he says He said, if you doubt my Catholic bona fides, I'll shove my rosary beads down your throat, he said once.
Which is, in a long line of the saints who said the same thing.
It's classic.
I believe St. Dominic started the trend.
By the way, I could see I'll strangle you with my rosary beads, no, but shove them down your throat.
Yeah, it's not an effective weapon in that way.
Yeah, no.
I think partly Joe Biden would be a good choice for Catholic Person of the Year too, because he embodies this, how are we to be Catholic in the world dispute that we have been having since the Second Vatican Council. But he also embodies all the internal disputes in the Catholic Church about what is a Catholic in good standing and you said that so well.
And that is a better elucidation of what I meant by having to reckon with that. He's kind of a symbol of all that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And on abortion, he's wrong. He's wrong and unchristian. And that we have to deal with that. That whatever else he's right on, the most important civil rights issue of our time, he is contrary to Christ.
And his wrongness translates into real world effects. Yeah. Funding for abortion, it translates into stoking the bureaucracy with like-minded people, and their actions in the bureaucracy will reverberate.
Yeah. And I hope that he is right on many other things. And I hope that he becomes right on this. I'm not at all attacking the man, but we have to speak clearly. He's involved in the greatest and has involved himself in promoting the greatest moral injustice of our era.
So exactly to your point, Cy, I would say to follow Todd that the Catholic news story of the year is Archbishop Chaput calling out Archbishop Wilton Gregory on the question of whether he would give or not communion to Joe Biden. And Archbishop Gregory said that he said soon to be cardinal, said that he would. And Archbishop Chaput in First Things said this was wrong, that his colleague in the episcopacy was wrong. And he said it explicitly. Now, how many people know this? But I think that this reveals brings into relief division within the episcopacy in America and within the church more broadly. And that is a significant news story.
But this just does follow a sort of trend among the bishops of a greater willingness to speak again to one another as adults and not in this diplomatic speak that we've all become so tired of. But fair enough. So that would be story of the year for you.
Yes. I don't know about the justice. She seems like a lovely person. I don't know her. I have not met her. I'm not enthusiastic about originalism the way some people are. There could be mistakes in the Constitution that we ought not repeat. So I think we should talk about the common good when we talk about what the job of a judge or an elected official is. And I never hear that even from Catholic justices, even though that is the principle that should inform their
call. Yeah, we have yet to see her write an opinion or weigh in on something important like that. But as a symbol for what she represents as a Catholic thinker and now as a Catholic influencer or leader, it's
one thing that was remarkable to me is media, frankly, all around the world, not American media, got it who she was, and that this is the juxtaposition of her with Justice Ginsburg, and the debate about what is a proper feminism. This was engaged all around the world because of Amy Comey Barrett. Mm-hmm. So you're right. We still we have barely met her. We got a long way to go to find out what kind of justice she'll be.
But for Catholic Person of the Year, Cy, I am unwilling to name someone I don't know, because how do I know? So I'm going to name someone I do know and someone that I have had the great grace to get to know better this year, and that's Cardinal Burke. And through the work that my brother is doing now as the director of the Shrine in La Crosse of Our Lady of Guadalupe. But I've come to know this man well over the past year, and even to call him a friend. And He is a true lion. He loves Jesus Christ very, very much. And I believe great things are coming for America from that shrine in La Crosse that that he built when he was bishop there. So he is my... I'll tell you what, folks. Go to the shrine's website and watch his sermon, filmed by the video crew here at Catholic Answers, Zach and Brandon, his sermon from the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and see the depth of this man's insight for our time.
Thanks. And I hope everybody will visit the shrine, but whether you can visit virtually now, get there. I think too, it's going to be a great gift to the church in the United States when people discover the shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
I'm so happy Catholic Answers has this friendship with this very, very important place for America.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll get into the poll when we come back. We will get into hard, cold numbers from scores of Catholic Answers listeners right after this.
Hello, this is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Keep your dial tuned to Catholic Answers Live.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
EWTN, communicating the faith.
And all the people who are working so hard to get us on radio, you know, that's wonderful. And even if you reach 100 miles or 50 miles, you help spread the word. And we do all the programming for you. Programming is the expensive stuff, you know, so you don't have to worry about programming. And so we want to thank you for everything you've done to make this radio possible.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Happy New Year to you. I gotta say it early. In some places, it is actually already the new year. Some of our listeners in Australia will be listening in the year 2021. I hope it's going well.
Good day.
Good day. Good year to you as
our
well.
Our friends at Perusia.
Our friends at Perusia and Evangelization Australia. Also, now that we're talking Australia, I want to say I hope this is the year of Monica Dumit in the Archdiocese of Sydney. If you don't know, we should get her to write a book for us, Todd. She's a superstar. She's a pro-life superstar in Sydney, Australia. We were so amazed with her when we met her. Maybe we should have her on the show sometimes, Nick. We should make a note of
haven't
that.
Haven't we? I thought we did once.
Yeah, we did an interview with her, but haven't done a live show with her. We haven't done a live show. All right. We've talked about COVID a little bit, but I want to share two. We did do two special questions on COVID in the poll. The two questions were, did COVID hurt or help your personal relationship with God? Was one of them. About 60% it helped, and some said it hurt, some said no effect. I don't know what to make of that. I have to say, from me personally, I would have chosen hurt my relationship with God, because I consider going to my parish every Sunday to be the foundational thing of my spiritual life, and I haven't been able to do it on most of the Sundays of this year. And I think that's hurt. I mean, God is good and brings good out of evil, but I don't think that. And so the good that He'll bring out is greater, I'm sure. But I miss being in my parish.
I think it's a multifaceted question, and this actually hooks into with what I had teed up as my Catholic story there, which was the closing of the churches. So on the sacramental level, it's inescapable that we've been deprived of that food that sustains us spiritually, and we've all felt. I know I felt a diminishment of charity, a diminishment of the desire to pray, or at least early on did when we were well and truly shut down.
Yeah.
But I think along with that, there's been, at least speaking personally, there's been a little bit of disappointment in the way that some Catholic leaders have kind of blithely gone along with the government shutdowns of our churches. One hears on the news every other day this or that evangelical church stepping up and taking legal action, defying the orders in a responsible way, not packing the churches shoulder to shoulder and singing at the top of their lungs, but taking prudent and reasonable precautions to protect people's health, which is important, while also balancing that appropriately with the need and the right to worship. And it seems like in too many places, Archbishop Chaput, being an exception to this, as he's spoken forcefully about the need to have the churches open. So if there's been a little bit of disappointment in our leaders for not underscoring sufficiently how much we need the Eucharist, how much we need communal prayer, how much we need all of that, that's been a harm to us. But I think there's a kind of hardening that's taking place in a good way. And I think about experiences I've had 25 years ago when I got to visit countries that had just come out of the Iron Curtain, and they didn't have churches, and they were worshiping outside, and there was still a little bit of subversiveness to to living as a Catholic, and it was a catalyst of devotion,
okay,
and of vocations. And as I go to Mass now in the stone piazza of my parish, and we're kneeling on the stone, and the cars are honking and the wind is blowing past, there is a little bit of that energizing that comes from kind of being up against it. Yeah. And I think we've come through the worst of it, and we're almost a kind of martyrdom, a white one anyway. But I think it's going to have good effects going forward. I'm optimistic about that.
Okay. All right. Chris, do you want to answer that one? Or
initially, for sure, it hurt. But it wasn't the virus that hurt it. It was, as Todd observes, the reaction to it and the closing of the churches, which, as you may recall, in my brief moment of conversing with the president, I told him this was his most important thing he needed to do, which was to reopen the church.
By the president, you mean President Donald Trump, right, President of the United States.
Which was to reopen the churches. And then, lo and behold, a couple of weeks later. But nonetheless, I depend very much in my own spiritual life in participating in common prayer with others, whether it is at my parish or here at Catholic Answers. So I think that one of the great things that we do here, for example, is Lauds and Vespers or the Divine Mercy, the various prayers that we say as a corporate body. And I depend on that very much, and not having it or thinking that it could be replaced by watching it on a screen. And I know we even tried to provide these services. For me, the screens almost exacerbated it for me. It just made me even angrier. So I would say it took a downturn. But I'm a grown up, and Catholicism is for grown-ups, and so I was able to get control of that eventually. And I like the way that Todd has described it. I am sick of outdoor masses. I want to go back inside, and not because we have bad weather here or anything like that, but we should be inside of a building, and it can be done safely.
The other question we asked about COVID was, we asked our listeners what they thought mass attendance would be once the COVID is over. And I have to say, we messed up on this question. We blew it. And we didn't give a choice that we should have given, which was that mass attendance would go up. We didn't ask them whether they thought mass attendance would go up, and some complained to us. So I apologize for that. But what we ended up asking was, is it going to go back to 100%, 75%, 50%, or 25% of pre-COVID mass attendance when all this is over, whenever that is? Only 14% of respondents thought 100%. About 40% thought 75% of previous attendance. 50% attendance was the choice of about 33%. So about a third of people thought we'd lose half of our members. And then a small group, again, 14%, thought we'll be at a quarter. We'll be 25% or below.
It's going to be less. It is. I don't think you even needed to ask that question the way you said. Could it possibly increase? Todd's point to the disappointing response from church leadership with respect to the dispensing of the sacraments and the reopening of the churches is indicative of a concern that I have about just how much of the leadership holds in their hearts the reality of the efficacy of these sacraments. And absent that from the leadership, how these numbers could possibly increase, the very best work of organizations like Catholic Answers notwithstanding. I mean, we're in the breach, but nonetheless, I think there's a crisis of unbelief among some church leaders, and getting that corrected is going to be necessary to getting those numbers back.
I read a news article not long ago, and this was with regard to one of those, it was a lawsuit or some kind of legal action that some evangelical churches had taken to either get back into church or to defend what they were already doing. And so they were making their case, and the journalist went and picked some Catholic woman off the street to get her opinion. And she says, well, I'm a Catholic, so I know that God is everywhere, so it really doesn't matter whether we get back into the churches or not. Now, look, it's one person. We all know that there's been an epidemic of bad catechesis for X number of years, but it's also a signal of the lack of urgency expressed. And so if there's a decline, if there's a real measurable and serious decline, and there's a lot of reasons I think there will be, as Chris says, one area we can place the blame for that is not signaling to the faithful just how critical it is to get back. Mm-hmm. Not making that job one of every moment and too easily knuckling under to, in some cases, quite whimsical and extra legal directives from state or county officials.
And when one thinks that we are within a century of bishops in Mexico or in Spain, bishops in Mexico who took the field. Now, sure, we can debate the merits of bishops, you know, taking the field with soldiers, but bishops who took the field with the Cristeros in the war in Mexico were less than a century away from that to what Todd describes as a real complacence. I think we have a crisis of unbelief here. And this goes, by the way, and I know this is on your list, to the McCarrick Report.
I will tell you this because we're probably not going to get to every single item on our poll, but within the part where we asked what was a positive trend of 2020, a remarkable number of people said the behavior of their own priest or of priests in ministering to people during so as much as I'm not trying to contradict what you're saying about the bishop's level, the on ground experience of people with their priests is that their priests did take care of them. And did everything they could to take care of them during the pandemic.
We talked about it here. Father Soroki up the road at Our Lady of Mount Carmel, I think. My own priest, Father Peter McGuine, doing everything he could, getting the outdoor masses underway, really kind of setting a standard for that here in East County. Increasing numbers of confessions. Certainly there are priests who've done very, very heroic work.
And this gets somewhat to the note of optimism that I sounded a few minutes ago. And that's part of, I think, one of the silver linings here, the heroism, the signal that our clergy are showing to us about the importance of these sacraments. My own pastor.
Your guy, Scott Herrera, Father Scott Herrera, with the Eucharistic processions and the trucks and the helicopter.
He rented a helicopter. He's an old friend of mine. He's the pastor at my local parish. And for weeks and months throughout the summer, he was processing the Blessed Sacrament around the perimeter of our town of Escondido, California, first in a truck and then in a helicopter to bless it.
I didn't know that story.
And of course, we have our good friend Bishop Strickland, who in the middle of it was standing on an intersection in the middle, you know, the busiest intersection in the middle of Tyler, Texas, there,
right,
with a monstrance aloft.
And we've even seen martyrdom there. So my old friend from the Diocese of Peoria, Monsignor Richard Sozman, who was one of the church's great priests, kept ministering, and he caught COVID and passed away at the age of 57 just a week ago.
Oh, may the Lord richly reward him for that.
But it
is such good news to hear people who know priests admire priests. It's the people who don't ever have contact. Well, I mean, I guess there's the other side of that, too. There's some priests, you know them, and you're like, man, you messed up my whole view of priesthood. But there's more to get to. We got the meat of the poll to get to when we come back. Catholic Person of the Year, Pro-Life Person of the Year, Catholic Story of the Year, the positive and negative trends of the year. All of that coming up, plus more conversation with Todd Aguilar-Lauro and Chris Check right here on Catholic Answers Live.